Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It's the 12th of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson. They have the news, including EPA regulations under a House Ag Committee microscope this week and considerations for extra income out of your woodlands. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says a mix of clouds and sunshine today, then rain in the second half of the weekend. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all gained some ground ahead of today's July crop report. We have analysis from Mike Silver on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana, talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Are the EPA's regulations harming the ag industry? And advice for Indiana woodland owners before harvesting and selling your timber. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, the EPA's regulations that impact the ag industry were under a microscope during a House Ag Committee during this past week. Sabrina Halverson has more.
What producers should not have to worry about is the federal government working against them.
In his opening statement, Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson pointed out the environmental stewardship of farmers.
American farmers and ranchers are the original conservationists. No one cares more for the environment than those whose livelihoods depend on it.
He also pointed out recent actions that pit the EPA against agriculture.
Last summer, the EPA published the draft Vulnerable Species Pilot Program and the draft Herbicide Strategy that will directly impact the ability of producers to utilize these critical tools and will cost billions to comply with. Even this administration's own U.S. Department of Agriculture expressed significant concerns with these actions. Earlier this year, the EPA published a proposed rule that significantly changes the effluent limitations guidelines for meat and poultry processing. While Biden's USDA spends millions to supposedly expand meat and poultry processing capacity, his EPA is simultaneously proposing rules that would shutter processing plants and impose significant compliance costs across industries vital to food affordability.
Conversely, Ranking Member David Scott used his opening statement to express disappointment in the lack of a farm bill.
Since our very divisive markup almost 2 months ago, there has been absolutely no progress on Chairman Thompson's bipartisan bill.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, if you're a woodland owner, you may be thinking about harvesting some of your timber to bring in some extra income. But there are several things to consider before you do.
Well, you first need to know what you have in your woods and whether or not it is biologically and or economically mature.
And that's Perry Seitzinger. He's a consulting forester and owner of Seitzinger Forestry based in Putnam County. He recommends reaching out to a DNR district forester or hiring someone like himself to help you out.
The first step in selling timber is getting those trees marked. It's important to know what your goals and objectives are. Many of my clients don't know, and that's why they hire me. And once we figure out what the goals and objectives are, I can mark those trees and advertise them for sale for you.
He also says you should have a legal agreement in place with your logging company before they begin.
First off, you always want to have a written timber sale contract that protects your interests, protects your property, spells out how your land is to be treated during the harvest and once the harvest is complete and what condition the property is to be left in. Not only that, it spells out the terms of the sale, such as the purchase price, the length of the contract, and the payment terms.
Once the contract is in place, Seitzinger recommends hiring someone to monitor the logging process.
Somebody like myself, a consulting forester that can come out, make sure that your property is being treated correctly, the timber is being harvested in a way that it protects your residual trees, and this way your woods is in good shape for the next timber harvest.
You can hear more advice from consulting forester Perry Seitzinger in our full conversation. It's at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. He says the program will not only reduce erosion and improve your soil health, but you'll also receive monetary compensation for putting these practices into place.
Last year, our average payment was $33 an acre. Nice thing about that is you receive a free estimate before signing the contract with the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. We need to be looking to implement a new conservation practice. So the key piece is there's something new on your operation.
In 2023, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund enrolled over 300,000 acres and provided over $10.5 million in payments to farmers. To learn more about how to enroll in their program, check out theoutcomesfund.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Not much happening here today across the Hoosier State. Yes, we have some lingering thunderstorm shower activity in northeastern parts of the state trying to move away this morning. But generally speaking, the rest of the state and the rest of the day just turns out with a mix of clouds and sunshine. The clouds could be formidable at times this afternoon, and we have plenty of humidity out there. But overall, not looking at a huge chunk of new moisture today. Story tomorrow is we're mostly dry. We're very warm, we're very humid, but we don't see anything kicking off tomorrow. Overnight tomorrow night through Sunday, yep, that's when we see a nice round of shower and thunderstorm activity. As a matter of fact, there could be some heavier thunderstorms in there. I'm looking right now at a quarter to one inch with about 60% coverage across the Hoosier State. We'll have to watch that closer as we get to the event. Unsettled for next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we've got chances of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Probably the biggest threat for the biggest area is going to be Wednesday, but I'm looking at this three-day stretch combined now, saying Monday through Wednesday, half to 1.5 inch rainfall totals with coverage around 90% of the state. So everybody's getting wet here as we move through the first 3 days of this next week, but how you get it on a daily basis is still a little bit more up in the air. Lots of heat-based instability here, so hit and miss is going to be the key characteristic. However, once we get into the Thursday-Friday time frame, we actually end up being behind a slow, sagging front, and that means we cool off and we see humidity values drop through the floor. Thursday and Friday should be quite nice over the region. And it still looks like we're pretty nice through the weekend. Next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 20th and the 21st, I think we see low humidity, maybe temperatures starting to ease back up a little bit. Do not get used to that pleasant set of weather conditions. I am seeing a nice round of heat starting to build back out of the west and southwestern U.S. Great Plains, it's headed towards us. So that week of the 22nd, I believe, will be right back to that uncomfortable, hot, and humid kind of thing. And why wouldn't it be? Multiple county fairs going on across the Hoosier State. What's fair weather without being hot and humid? That's what we are seeing. But right now we're looking at our best rain chances coming the early part of next week. Good coverage there. Maybe not what you would want to see, especially in areas that got some of the heaviest rains this past week, but there is more rain coming. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat rebound and work higher throughout the trading session. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. Settlements from Thursday trade coming up. First, analysis about what happened in the market. And I checked in with Mike Silver for that at the end of trade. Mike with Kokomo Grain. Mike, quite a week and plenty to talk about. On Thursday, though, higher markets in the overnight, higher to start the daytime session. And we did fall off, of course, as one might have guessed would happen, especially in soybeans, but at least for a while, some bargain buying.
Yes, it is refreshing to see some green on this quote board, Andy. There's no question about that. Certainly, it's been painful the last several, well, since we got the news from USDA at the end of the month the end of June, that certainly set the stage for a downward move in the futures market. And it is refreshing today to see a little green on the quote board. It looks like we have a pretty good chance, if things don't fall apart here in the next 15 minutes, to even have a positive close here today. The export sales numbers that came out this morning were nothing spectacular. Corn came in at 538.3 metric tons. That was down from last week's 357.2. The soybean number came in at 208,000 tons. That was down from last week's 228.4. The wheat number came in at 240.4. That was down from last week's 805.3. So really nothing stellar in those export sales numbers that were released today at all. Now, having said that, at least when we look at the pace needed to meet the USDA export projections in the balance tables, corn, we're running about 4% right now above the weekly pace we need to reach the USDA's target. And soybeans, unfortunately, we continue to lag the pace there by about 3% pace needed to meet the USDA export target numbers. So the wheat number, all wheat, we're actually about 5% above the estimate in the target number for the numbers that USDA has projected in the balance table. Yesterday, we had the ethanol report out. Corn crunched for ethanol was down a million bushel, 1.02 million bushel from the week before at 108.05 million bushel. Well, that was the week before. Last week, we were 107.04. Average daily production was down from the week before, and the ethanol stocks actually rose from the week before. So we continue to make ethanol from corn, and that's a good thing. We need to work through these corn ending stocks as best we can. And having said that, tomorrow USDA will give us the July version of what they think crop prospects are here. We'll get the July crop production report from USDA. We'll also get the World Outlook Board report from USDA at noon tomorrow. That will include not only the look at the U.S. numbers, but also at the world numbers, the World Outlook Board report. And we will see USDA, no doubt, they will incorporate some of the bad news that we had from the June 30th report in terms of the acreage numbers and some of the other factors, the ending stocks numbers, into their update of our balance tables tomorrow in that USDA World Outlook Board report. As I look at prices again today, at least we are showing some green in our corn and soybean prices. The wheat number today is also, the wheat's the leader today. Corn and soybeans are actually following the wheat market a little bit. But as I compare today's trade to last Friday, obviously we're down from a week ago. The thing that's going on in the market right now, obviously, benign weather forecasts, and if not benign, friendly weather forecasts. Yes, we've had a lot of rainfall this week in certain parts of Indiana. Yesterday, I was up at our Winnemac elevator and out in the country in Pulaski County and White County, and there were some areas up there that had 5 to 7 inches of rain, which is a lot of water to come in one rain event in a 24-hour period, and that's the remnants of the tail end of the hurricane that came up our way, and a lot of the areas needed the water. Certainly areas got more than was actually needed for the present time, but with the forecast for this heat coming in starting this weekend and into next week, we'll be thankful that we've actually had that rainfall. I know I was on some county roads in Pulaski County that gravel roads that I should probably not have been on yesterday afternoon. I was in some water in my vehicle that got out there and kind of wished that maybe I hadn't made that trek, but certainly crops do look good, and I made it home last night, so I'm able to talk to you today, Andy. Crops really do look quite favorable. In the crop condition report that came out Monday, actually our conditions for the corn and soybean crops here in Indiana and on a national basis did improve. So the crops look really good. Now, the unfortunate part of what's going on right now is the fact that these markets just have declined so profusely that we have the funds, the commodity funds have now pushed the corn market down to multi-year lows, and actually we've set some new net short positions in the corn market, in the corn futures market, with the commodity fund position. And it appears that the next target may be to establish some new record net short positions in the soybean market. We've got a ways to go there yet before we would set new records, but certainly right now, farmer sentiment, I must say, a lot of disappointment in what price action has done over the course of the last several weeks now. And we'll see what USDA has to say tomorrow. You know, I wrote in my comments earlier this week, Andy, this market, corn, soybeans, and wheat, for that matter, right now, are all leaning one way, and it's to the downside, and that's a negative. And certainly, there's still a lot of old crop corn that needs to come to market. There's still a lot of DP that needs to be priced, basis contracts that still need to be priced. And new crop sales are at multi-year lows in terms of percentage sold. So there's a lot of selling that needs to take place. And all this negativity in the market, I know, can create some angst, I think is the best way to describe it. You know, shoulda, woulda, coulda comes into play here. Everybody pretty much was expecting that we would see some kind of a summer rally, but so far that has not materialized. And we'll see what USDA does for us tomorrow, Andy, and see if they can put a little spark under this market to open the window of opportunity to get some more sales made.
Mike Silver at Kokomo Grain, and Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Settlements now from Thursday trade. Everything did finish on the plus side. September corn, $4.25, up 4.5. Deese gains 3.5 on the day, going to 4.10¾. August beans, 11.17, squeaking out a 3¾ cent gain. September unchanged. November squeaks out a 0.75 cent gain, going to 10.67¾. And September wheat, 5.71¼, a gain of 9¾. The meat's mostly higher. August live cattle unchanged at 182.25, but October up 30 cents. And August lean hogs up an even $2, going to 86.67. I'm Andy Eubank, and that's the Thursday Farm Market Review on Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.